On today's show, we talk top tech tips for Disney World. This is WWDW, the Disney World Planning Podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 225. I'm your host, Julie Elster, creator of WWDW.com, the Disney World Planning website. Today, we're talking top tech tips. That's really hard to say.
Tech nasty.
So, of course, we have my husband.
Tech nasty.
No one really calls you that, but the name implies that you know something about tech.
Yeah, that ChatGPT figured that out.
You're like, I guess.
No, I didn't explain the nickname to it. And I produced the outline for this episode. I'm very proud. One of the few. And ChatGPT helped.
One of the few, also known as the only one.
I've had input on several.
All right, input, yeah, I'll give you
that. But
this
is the first one where I produced the outline.
You did.
Yeah.
All right, but I'm taking over as host to guide us so that we don't get too far off the rails, because we all know how you can be.
I'll be our domain expert here and resident moron.
Oh.
Insanely idiotic.
So I figured you and I, mostly you, because you are our tech expert, could talk about using technology to enhance your Disney World experience. And part of that is because it's required. I mean, you need to.
Yeah, just as they spent $1 billion upgrading or building Galaxy's Edge, there was a time where they spent a similar amount of money just upgrading all of the park's infrastructure. And that, you know, in the early 2000s, I think when that occurred, that was really exciting stuff. And that initiative laid the groundwork for them to have the early adopters in a reasonably decent app that does an extraordinary number of things.
I think about like my Disney World childhood and even Disneyland in my like preteen teen years, how different it was. So back then, you could go up to a cast member, like there were specific cast members who handled dining reservations. So you would do it in the park and you would ask, hey, are there reservations available today for whatever restaurant? And the cast member would take care of it for you. Then when the internet became a thing, it was like, oh, hidden secret, you can book online, but nobody really knew about it yet. Then we had paper FastPass, which blew my mind, moved into, as you said, the app, which was FastPass Plus, so you can now book ahead of time. Then we got rid of paper completely. We got rid of FastPass Plus completely. And now we're on to the nightmare that is Genie Plus. So a lot of tech changes, but it's impossible to do the parks without some sort of tech.
100%, you are married to your phone if you are in Disney World. At this point, there's no avoiding it. But I wish there was an alternative option. There isn't. You know, for those among us who want to go analog, lo-fi, retro, throwback Disney World, whatever you want to call it, realistically there isn't. But even if you hate the apps and the smartphone nonsense, when it works, it's pretty cool. For the most part, it's pretty great. It's really 80% of the time it works fine. 20% of the time it's infuriating, and that's no different than, you know, my smart speakers or the smart home we live in. You know, I don't know how many stupid smart light bulbs I have, but they turn themselves on and off randomly. And when they do it at the right time, it's pretty exciting.
Well, and you're the one who set up all the commands for our smart home and for our light bulbs. So when you were out of town on a business trip last week, I didn't know what all the commands were. So trying to figure out how to turn all of the lights off was extremely frustrating. Or like the lights in the bedroom kept turning on and off. I'm like, what is happening? So living in the future, not all it's cracked up to be, huh?
You just didn't know the right commands to say.
And I would like to say, okay, yes, there are going to be people like, you don't have to have a smartphone to do Disney. Sure, you can pick up a paper map when you walk in and you can just get in line. And they do have a few boards throughout the park that update times. But you can't do things like Tron without a virtual queue or Guardians of the Galaxy. Those things sell out in seconds and you need a smartphone to do it. So I just, for anybody out there, because I know people look like,
actually,
you don't have to buy Genie Plus. I'm aware. We're going to discuss all of it. But you do need some sort of tech if you want to do everything.
Look, if you want to come on here and debate Miss Julie on whether or not you could do the park without a smartphone, feel free.
Let them eat cake!
But I think the rest of us are just going to go ahead and use the smartphone that we're bringing with us anyway.
Yeah.
Like, as if your smartphone is not leaving your sweaty palms at any point during the day.
Is that a dig at me because I'm sweaty?
We're both pretty sweaty people.
Oh.
Just that's what probably brought us together.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, back to phones. Let's start with phones, and I'm going to let you take the lead on smartphones. I want tips for smartphones at Disney World.
Hey, the best smartphone is the one you have.
Okay, I'm not talking about buying a new smartphone. I'm talking about utilizing the phone that you have in the parks. What are some things that you can do? You talked about being on your phone all the time. So we're talking battery life, we're talking storage, because there's probably a million pictures, adding apps, all sorts of stuff.
Well, okay. Even if you have the latest and greatest iPhone, Android, whatever, and it has normally a pretty phenomenal battery life, it's going to take a serious hit once it's at Disney World, because now all of its services are cranking. Those Disney apps have to service a ton of devices, so they're not particularly optimized. And your GPS is going to be going, so you can use the map. Your Bluetooth is going, so that the app can interact with the park and they could track your location. You're probably going to be running Wi-Fi, though if you have a 5G phone, you really don't have to. Because the park has great cell phone service.
Oh, we will get into that. That's on the topic list.
But so 100%, you put your phone in low power mode. Even if your phone is at 100%, don't wait. I set my phone up. I run an automation. As soon as it hits, like normally when it hits 20%, it'll be like, hey, you want to do low power mode, buddy? And I'm like, yeah, thanks. I run an automation. As soon as it hits 70%, I think I kick it into low power mode. And if I'm going to the park, I'm running low power mode as soon as I get up.
We've been talking about automations a lot. You want to know what other automation he had on his cell phone for the longest time? He'd plug it in at night, and when it was fully charged, it would be like, phone is charged!
At it would like, say charging complete?
Whatever. It was like 3 a.m., and I'd be like, oh my God. You know, like you hear a sound and you sit straight up, and then even when you, like I figured out it was nothing, I was like, what the hell was that? And then you're still sitting there like clutching your sheets on the side of the bed, like, what is in my house? That was me because of your automations. We had to have a little chat about that after like the third time it woke me up.
I don't know what you're talking about because I slept through all of that.
That's the worst part, is you did. I was in the bed, oh my God, and you're fast asleep. Phone charged. Yeah. Anyway, so automation, living in the future. It's like living in the Jetsons house. You know how like you used to get caught in the treadmill?
It was an accurate depiction Whew. Of life on the bleeding edge.
Oh my gosh. All right.
The point is turn low power mode
low
on
power
before
mode.
You need it.
Low power mode. Yeah. All right. What else?
Well, if you're traveling not alone, or even if you are, no matter what, you should be sharing your location with someone, right? On the iPhone, it's Find My, makes that very simple. Share it with your family. And
What's
that's great if you get separated.
The Android equivalent. Is there an Android equivalent?
Of course. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know, so when I went with my girlfriend in November, she lost her phone somewhere. And luckily we had been sharing location. So if you don't already do that, I think that's smart to turn on. Or if you're traveling with teenagers who might, you know, split off from you for a while. But never a bad idea to use that Find My feature on your phone.
Now, even if you're a super baller and you get the biggest storage on your phone, which I don't, I'm too cheap. I've always gotten the lowest amount of storage because they overcharge. I know conceptually they're overcharging for it. And so I refuse.
I'm the same way.
No matter what. Yeah, just clear out your camera roll, delete some apps, clear out space on your phone because you're going to be taking a lot of photos and potentially videos.
Yeah, or I find that like attachments on iMessage for me, like I don't delete my messages right away. So after a while, I'm like, wow, this is eating up a lot of space because I'm the same way. I don't want to pay for iCloud storage. So I'll back up any photos and then just delete everything off of my camera roll. But you're going to be taking a million photos. Can we talk about apps for a sec?
If you must.
Yeah, since we're talking about phones, My Disney Experience is a must. I would play with that before you even get on the airplane. Like, give yourself some time to get used to it. It's not an intuitive app. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not my favorite. It's not intuitive. So play around with it so that when you're looking for something specific, you don't have to stop, you know, be that person who like stops while everybody is walking behind you. And you just like stop trying to figure out what's going on your phone. But My Disney Experience will have everything. Your resort info, you can use it to get into your room. Maps, restaurant reservations, Genie Plus, virtual queues. So figure all of that out ahead of time. And if you can't figure out where things are, use the search function. Sometimes that's the easiest way to find stuff. But the maps will show you where everything is. Restaurants, bathrooms, rides, the baby care center, first aid. I mean, all of it. So familiarize yourself. I would also add Lyft and Uber to your phone, even if you don't plan on utilizing them. I think back, do you remember the trip, Kennedy's first trip, our now seven-year-old? We were at Disney Springs and she was done. She threw a cup of cranberry juice at my sister-in-law. Like, she was a little guy and she was done. And so I had to leave dinner. We were at the boathouse. I had to leave
dinner. Remember it vividly.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I should just take a Lyft. But I didn't have the app on my phone. So I'm like desperately trying to download. And finally, I gave up and just dealt with her on Disney transportation. But I really wished that I had had the Lyft or Uber app already on my phone and already set up. So even if you don't plan on using it, it's not a bad thing to have. And check both apps because one will do surge pricing and the other will be cheap. Have you ever noticed this when you use them? Do you check both?
No,
I
no, never.
Every time. Don't close out completely of the other one, though. Like, whichever one you check first, don't close out of it completely. Once you close out of it, when you go back in, often the price suddenly jumps. Like, what? Weird, it jumps. So check both of them. One is often way cheaper. And especially in Orlando, I have all sorts of weird, like, Lyft and Uber tips. But in Orlando, if you do the wait and save option, so you can get, like, the fastest driver, whoever can get to you the fastest. Or you can save a few bucks if you do wait and save. Every time I've done wait and save in Orlando, because there are a million Lyft and Uber drivers, they end up coming just as quickly and I save a few bucks. So just hot tip. I would also recommend looking into apps like Standby Skipper. It wasn't my favorite thing, but it depends on who you are, whether or not that's going to work for you. So that's the service you pay extra for and they pull Genie Plus Lightning Lanes on your behalf. So if Genie Plus, My Disney Experience is confusing for you, that might be worth your time. And Add More Magic is another one if you're looking for restaurant reservations. So those are some of my recommendations.
There's some apps. Yeah, I was just in New Orleans and I shot some video and some photo and recorded some stuff. And there's apps I always use on my phone when I'm editing video or messing with photos. And my new trick, like let's say you want video of the park, but you also want photos. It's a pretty big commitment to be shooting all of that.
It is.
It is. Depending on how detailed you want to get. So my new trick is I'll shoot cinematic video on the iPhone, and then you can pull key frames out of a video and save those as photos. So if I'm just shooting video for fun, it's like run and gun, and then I could pull frames out of that. And instead of just having like a single shot I composed, I could flip through,
I think,
you know,
that's
a dozen
amazing.
Options.
Amazing. You just told me about this and I was really excited about it because I'm often like, well, I want a video of it, but I also want to take photos and I'm just one person with one phone.
Now, it's not as high resolution as just a photo, but I, you know, unless you're going to print these as posters.
Which I am not.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
we're safe.
If you're just posting to social media, it's like 100% perfect for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm excited to give that one a try. What's the app called?
I've been using a free app. It's ad supported called Video Still. Okay. I bet there's better options out there. I just have not looked, but Video Still was the free one I tried and it gets the job done.
Yeah, for a free app, I mean, that's definitely worth giving it a shot.
So I was posting, I shot some video with my phone in New Orleans just last week and I edited it together and I posted it. And I had so many people go, oh, what did you shoot that with? Or like, wow, your editing is so good. And I told them, I just shot it on my phone, right? It's cinematic mode on the iPhone. No one bothers with this. No one uses it. It's the best. But you know, I'm walking around New Orleans and I got like a quick weird walk. I'm an odd, awkward man. And so the video kind of bobs and I don't like that, but I'm not a psycho. I'm not gonna walk around with a video stabilizer. So I got this app called D-Shake. You know what it does?
Stabilizes?
Yeah, it D-Shakes your video. And it works, like it gives it this really smooth look. And I think that was also a big part of why so many people being like, oh, your video's really good. How'd
your
you do
videos
that?
Your videos are really good. He's, okay, so
I have like 900 followers. Nobody cares, but my videos are great for those 900 people.
I give him a lot of crap about a lot of things, but you have taught me everything that I know about photography and taking videos, and I'm not nearly as good as you are. So I'm excited to try both of these apps my next trip. And this is actually a great segue into my next topic. So I want to talk about using your phone versus using an actual camera, since we're talking tech, because there are always going to be people out there who want to go more old school, who want to bring a point and shoot.
Or be like real spendy, get the real good gear.
Or maybe they have some good gear, you know? So let's talk about using your phone versus using your camera.
So when you first started writing your website and you need good content for that website, we always brought a full-on Canon DSLR, an old...
it's beefy.
I think a 6D Mark II is what we used.
Yeah.
And a 2470 L glass lens. Like, the lens is almost as much as the camera.
I had bruises from the camera, like, hitting my hip because that thing is so big and heavy.
I love this camera. Around. It's beautiful. It shoots phenomenal photos. It's like, if you're a wedding photographer, that is a great camera to use. I love it. I have not taken it to Disney World in years because iPhones are that good.
Yeah.
And I don't need, like, you already have a library of these DSLR photos. And that's why we did it. And then I've got backups on backups because when you include the travel cost, those are some very expensive photos. Then we tried the smaller, the mirrorless cameras. Like, you know, it's like a point and shoot, but you could put a lens on it. But it's a fraction of the size and weight of the camera of the big DSLR. It's like 90% as good as the DSLR and still a big pain, right? It doesn't fit in your pocket.
Yeah.
Phones are so good. And I already have the amazing photos I want. I will now just exclusively do phone.
Yeah,
I'm just only shooting the park with my iPhone.
I almost felt like I was cheating the first time I went and didn't bring the big camera. I was like, oh, is this okay? Like, am I playing myself? Am I cheating here? But no, it's the photos I've been able to take with just my phone have been great. Because I think it's been a year since I've taken the big camera, I believe.
Well, you started your website, what, 2018?
2018, yeah. And lugging that giant heavy camera around.
Yeah, it's now 6 years later. All right, phone cameras have improved significantly that time. That's like the only thing they're able to advance to sell us new ones.
Right.
And then, of course, I say that, but I own the latest iPhone.
Okay, so let's talk about getting the most out of your phone. Because I do take some issues with the iPhone camera. For example, when I take a selfie, I look like the Crypt Keeper. I'm like, do I look this old? What is happening here?
It oversharpens my beard. It like picks out individual whiskers.
Every hair.
All right. So what's happening here is all digital cameras have to do some level of image processing. The DSLR takes these beautiful photos because it relies on the glass. A lens is $1,000 and then the camera itself is a couple thousand. It relies on the optics of that lens to get the look of the photo. Your phone is so tiny and so miraculous, but it's not perfect. And so they rely a lot on image processing. It takes the photo and then it's going to decide, all right, we're going to fill in the details here. You know, we're going to choose how to color correct this. We're going to set, choose what the color profile is. And the real culprit is because everyone wants, you know, the fanciest, latest, and greatest phone, and they determine whether it's good or not based on how sharp the image is. They over-sharpen the images like crazy, and they do a thing called add definition. And so it's not just sharpening the photo, which is a cool trick. It is looking for edges, and anywhere it sees an edge, whether that's like, you know, the difference in whiskers in my beard, minor wrinkles on your face.
Wrinkles on my face. Wah, wah, wah.
It's going to crank up.
Yeah.
The edges of those outlines. The sharpening on smartphones, especially the iPhone, really drives me nuts.
Yeah, people will be like, well, Kurt, why are you married to Skeletor?
No one has asked me that.
Okay, well, you're very kind. Okay, so when is the sharpening that the phone uses, when is that a positive in the parks?
You know, a landscape photo.
Okay.
You're not going to pick it out as much. The problem is you're used to seeing yourself in the mirror. And so when you see it sharpened, you're like,
what happened here? That's why it's so horrifying. All right. But so what do you do? Let's say I want to take a family photo or a selfie with the castle in the background. What do I do? Because I'm not going to carry my big camera. And
just
even if I
still
did.
Use your phone. Use the just regular camera app on your phone. Maybe mess with the settings just so it's taking like the highest resolution. It's doing what you want. Take the photo. You don't get a choice in how it's going to process it initially. Once you have it, click, and this is iPhone specific, but Android could do all these things.
Yeah,
as
Android
well.
Cameras, I believe, are just as good or almost as good.
If no, it depends what we're rating it on. But like Samsung has a 100x telephoto zoom that uses AI. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
But I digress. iPhone people assume that it's always the best. This is not always the case.
My mistake. All right.
Yeah. There's definitely some right. Android phones
so
with
we
crazy
know we,
cameras.
So we know we have to look at settings. It depends on your phone. What specifically are we looking for all when right. we're looking at settings? What should we be looking for?
Settings, camera, and it gives you option for like recording video, slow-mo, or running through them. Record video. I want a real cinematic look, so I shoot 4K at 24 frames per second. That's nuts. It chews through so much storage. You probably just want to shoot at 1080p. And your phone may have options for stabilization. Mine has enhanced stabilization. So I definitely turn that on. Has an option for HDR video. That's helpful. It's going to like, you know, you're dealing with a lot of shadow in real bright areas, which in the Orlando sun is going to happen. Turn HDR on if it's an option for you.
You know, back in 2018, my first like big trip for the website, and I knew I had to take like a million photos. I remember going to the park with the kids and I practiced with the camera there. Now I was practicing with like the big camera, but you can do the same thing with your phone. If you're unsure about the settings, because I'm 100% unsure about my camera settings, play with them a little bit, go somewhere where, you know, your kids can run around, or there's some action, there's some sunlight, and take some photos and play with it. See what you like. I think the takeaway is play with the settings in your phone, whatever they might be, because every phone's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, just get used to it. I think the thing that people miss is, you know, even in the camera app, there's the like slow-mo video is super cool. Shoot a slow-mo of, well, it's not running right now, but Splash Mountain, like any water ride or like roller coaster.
Or like Seven Dwarves, you know, you can stand right there and the ride will zip by.
Your slow-mo of a roller coaster video, that's pretty fun. That's an automatic winner. You know, Instagram stories, your friends will be thrilled. But cinematic video is such a cool look. That's where you can mess with pulling focus. Nobody does it. Portrait mode, I think, is kind of annoying. I don't want to shoot in portrait mode. Like, it never gets the edges right. It's always real obvious what it did.
I agree. I'm not a fan of portrait mode either.
And your phone will have, probably has the ultra-wide angle lens. That's been an option for a while. And I don't see people switching lenses. Like, you can go to that, it says 0.5x. That's the ultra-wide. Really cool look. Needs a lot of light, so it's not great in like a dark ride or indoors. But outside, like you can really use that to mess with perspective. You get the ultra wide lens and then get like low to the ground and close up to something. It gives it this real dramatic look.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Also, turn your flash off, guys.
Oh, man.
Turn your flash off. Do you know how many times watching like fireworks or an evening show, I'm at the point I'll just tap on people's shoulders. Be like, hey your
dog.
Flash is on. Because when they're filming it, the flash is just on like it's a flashlight. So then the person in front of them is just illuminated.
Yeah, just straight up.
I will check and make sure that the flash is off before filming evening shows or going on dark rides.
For as good as smartphones are, the flash on a smartphone is always going to be terrible. Don't use it. Don't bother. The low light stuff that phones could do is really quite extraordinary. Turn your flash off. Yeah. I never use my flash.
Yep.
It's like, it's a terrible look.
All right, moving on. How about posing people? You're great at, like, whenever you and I go, well, really, whenever we go anywhere where somebody might be taking a photo of me, you will always pose me. And sometimes I'm like, this feels awkward, but then I'll look at the photo and I'm like, no, that looks great. How do you pose people?
In a photo, you need to be 20% more you, minimum, just to look like you're not dying.
So you need to be a little extra, is what you're saying. Be like, extra in the photo.
If you don't want to look like a goblin, you need to really kind of, you the normal pose you would have, the normal face you would have, you have to exaggerate it. And not to a degree that you look psychotic, but like enough to express it.
What if I want to be a goblin? Are you saying my resting bee face isn't going to work for my happy Disney vacation photos?
You know, as long as you just have your mouth parted and we could see a little bit of teeth, that's so the weird. Kardashians' bread and butter.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. That's not my thing. Breathe out of your nose, people. Okay. Shoulders back is always the one you're always like, put your
everybody
shoulders
back. Everybody has bad posture.
I think I'm a hunchback.
And you need to look like, you got to have really wildly exaggerated posture.
All right, so we've determined,
men and women, shoulders back.
We've determined today that I am sweaty and a hunchback.
A hunchback goblin, yeah.
Based on the number of times he's been like, put your shoulders back, no, put them back. I am a hunchback who sweats too much.
Yeah, just get your shoulder blades to touch each other.
I'm embracing the goblin. I think that's just the way for me to go. All right, any other photo posing tips? You're better at this than I am.
Static objects are not that interesting. So you want to have motion in the photo, or at least look like there's motion. One of the best photos of you at Disney World is I just had you jump up and down in front of the castle, and I took photos until we got one that worked.
People walking by loved it, too. They knew exactly what we were doing.
Of course.
And people were commenting. They're like, oh, that's so fun. That'll be cute.
Yeah. And so if you can get over yourself and do it, this one, that's a great photo. It's great. And that one I did, we were up close to the castle, and then I used the ultra-wide-angle lens. And it gives it a real cool look.
You did. I'll post that in the show notes so people can see that one, because it is. And I'll make sure to put that in the description of the photo as well, because I remember that you were kind of squatting down and you went to like, what, 0.5?
Yeah, 0.5x is the ultra wide.
Yeah.
And we were like right in that little courtyard in front of the castle.
Yes. And that, you know, that brings me to my next thing is photo spots in the park. You know, it's so easy to just be like, PhotoPass photographer, I should stop here, which you should, and we'll get to that in a second. But those are not the only great photo spots. I'm going to put a map in the show notes because it's too hard to describe where every spot is. But one of them that I was going to just mention briefly here is exactly where you were talking about. Right in front of the castle, there's like a little spire that's separate. It's not attached to the castle. There's nobody over there. And so it's a great spot to have some privacy and to get nobody, you know, in the background of your photo. Same with the side and the very back of the castle. If you can get to the side of the castle, because it's just a walking path and there's nothing really there, people don't stop. It's a great place to stop and get good photos.
Yeah. Anytime I see an elevation change, I'm like, okay, cool. I want to shoot from real low. I want to get to the high spot and shoot down. And you have, there's not a ton of that in the park, but you have it at that sidewalk, that side path by the castle.
We have so many great photos on that side path over there. That's one of my favorite spots as far as Magic Kingdom. Just some other like random, there are so many paths in Animal Kingdom. Like there's no end to the fun hidden photo spots in Animal Kingdom. Open up the map in My Disney Experience and just take a look at all the little hidden trails in Animal Kingdom. And there are several that go up kind of behind the Tree of Life. So you can get a photo with the tree that doesn't have, you know, 30 people walking behind you with their most expensive vacation ever t-shirts on.
Yeah,
you know, you can get something without that.
The battle at Disney World for me is trying to get photos with as few people in it as possible.
It's difficult.
And it's so often it's just like anytime I see a spot where there happens to be a lull and there's just not a lot of people at that moment, I'm running around trying to get the photo.
Yeah.
And what drives me nuts is when there's like one person who starts trying to pose. They think they're funny. Like, get out of here.
Yes, there is always that person. You're like, yeah, you got me. Ruined my photo, but whatever.
When they do that, I put the camera down and I wait till they stop. And then I start the lift the camera up again. They do it again. I put it down. And eventually they give up. You know, it's like a badly behaving child. I just don't react. But I don't want to engage. I don't look them in the eyes. I don't want the challenge. I'm just like, okay, wait and see if they move on.
And if they do, do you give them a cookie?
No.
Oh, okay.
Galaxy's Edge has a ton of fun spots.
Galaxy's Edge can be crowded, but there are endless spots. I really like an Epcot.
World Showcase. If you could just go into a pavilion, you'll find lots of like nooks and crannies.
Go into Canada or as I say, Kanata. And
I believe that's how they say it, north of the border.
Yeah, yeah. If you walk way back into the Canada Pavilion, that nobody ever goes back there. It's amazing. There's a waterfall back there. It's beautiful. In Japan, there's a koi pond. In England, there's a butterfly garden. And people really don't take advantage of these things because they stop to drink around the world and that's all they see and do. They, you know, they stop at the bar and then they keep moving. So if you really go back into the pavilions, so many amazing photo opportunities. So I will put a list and a map in the show notes so that you can see them because it's too hard to describe where some of these are in the podcast, but so many
great
spots.
I love when it rains, everybody hides. And usually like right when it's rained, is raining or has just stopped, you have a brief moment in which you can get photos of stuff with nobody around. And it's real moody because it's all tropical stormy.
Let's talk really quickly. I mean, I know just because we're talking about cameras versus phone, if you are bringing your phone, you can have PhotoPass photographers take photos for you. So keep that in mind. But I highly recommend investing in Memory Maker if you have a multi-day trip. There are studios that will do free photo shoots. There's one in Disney Springs. There's one in Magic Kingdom. It's behind the castle in Sir Mickey's. So you can get a free photo shoot. Also, ask photographers to pose you because if you're like me, you don't know how to pose yourself and you're a hunchback goblin. So, wait, am I a goblin or a gremlin?
A goblin.
A goblin, okay.
Gremlins are more fun.
Oh. Wah, wah.
I'm impish.
So, just some side notes about photographs. I know that's not, you know, bringing your own tech, but just some side notes here. All right, let's move on to our next segment, which is gear. Tech Nasty's gear guide.
I'm listening.
You're not listening. You're talking because you, I think, are the gear person. So why don't you start us out and then I'll add my sweaty two cents.
Well, all right. The only things I'm bringing today, I got my phone, my sound machine. Obviously, I'm leaving that in the room. And a battery pack. That's assuming I have a bag, though. Or, you know, I can wear pants. As long as I have pockets. Because a battery pack is heavy. But you're going to be on that phone all day using the Disney app. It's running in the background. You're shooting photo and video. GPS is going. That it chunks through your battery. And so just getting a battery pack. And the brand I like is Anker, A-N-K-E-R. You'll find those on Amazon.
That's what I typically recommend is Anker. If you forget it, because I have forgotten my external battery pack in the past. You can purchase, they're called fuel rods. And you can purchase them. They have stations. They're like kiosks at every resort. And there is one in every park. But they're expensive. And they work. But it's not going to give you a full charge. Like, it'll be enough to keep your phone from dying. So, like, if you're really desperate. I bought one because I was desperate. But it also, using it, leaving it plugged into my phone, got so hot to the touch that I was concerned. It was like, is my bag going to burst into flames? So something to keep in mind, but it is an option if you forget your external phone charger. Just wanted to throw that in there.
I'm not a big fan of the fuel rods.
No, I'm not either, but, you know, in a crunch, they work. I'm sorry. Continue. Continue with your gear.
Well, if you're hardcore and you really want ride video, the park's not a big fan of you holding your phone on a ride for fear of your phone going flying.
They'll let you do it.
On most rides, they'll let you do this.
Tron is the only one they forbid it.
And you have Tron ride video, though.
I do. You know what I did is I strapped a GoPro to my chest.
All right.
Yeah.
We've also strapped a GoPro to your forehead.
Yeah, I have photos of me with this thing on my forehead, and then the GoPro ran out of battery before I got in the ride, and I didn't know. And I was like, well, I looked like an idiot for the last 10 minutes and for no reason.
All right, but so we've owned GoPro cameras. GoPro's like Kleenex now. We've owned GoPro cameras. They were never particularly reliable. They were fine, but they never lasted long. And then we switched to DJI, who makes the drones. And we used a DJI Osmo Action camera. And that we've used for years, abused at the parks, and it still works today. So
okay,
my brand pick.
Correction. Yeah, on Tron, it was DJI.
DJI Osmo Action. But if you know what a GoPro looks like, it's a GoPro. I mean, it's like identical.
The hard part about using the strap with the GoPro or DJI or, you know, whatever brand you prefer is you can't see what you're filming. I had to...
Well, you check it on your phone, but it's not real practical.
Yeah, I couldn't when I was on Tron. I had to ride Tron 3 times with the chest strap on to get the video because the first time I did it, it was too low. All you saw was like the bike handles. The second time I did it, it was too high. It was like looking up at the sky. So I had to
figure out how
to position myself appropriately. And I have a great ride video from Tron, but it took a while. So that is the downside, is you can't actively watch what you're filming if you're doing something like if the purpose is this is a ride where I don't have my phone out. Universal's far more strict about phones on roller coasters.
We've both been yelled at.
I have not been yelled at.
You think you're told to put your phone away in Jurassic Park?
No, that was you and only you.
Oh, good for me.
Yeah.
Put your phone away.
They have you go through metal They have you go through metal detectors.
Yeah, but their rides are more hardcore. Yeah. They just are.
Yeah. But that's, you know, workaround, you know, also for Universal is having the DJI or GoPro straps. So either head strap or a chest strap for some of those rides. The ones where you have to go through the metal detector, they still won't allow.
Their issue is not you filming it. Their issue is your device goes flying out of your hands.
And hits somebody in the face.
And Universal, you know, it's much more enclosed. Rides often pass over walkways. And they're just faster.
Let's talk about, you know, people who want to bring the big fancy cameras. Because I remember years and years ago, we had a whole discussion about renting lenses for vacations. Is that something that you would do? And where would you get them?
If you own a DSLR camera, you probably already know about this, but borrowlenses.com. Because good lenses cost $1,000 or more. You know, we've got the single nice lens and it's $1,000. You know, maybe you want different lenses or you want like a really nice lens just for your like big once in a lifetime trip. You can rent it from borrowlenses.com. There's other sites too. That's just the one I've used and had success with. It's, you know, you're still paying $100 for several days to rent an expensive lens, but you're paying less than 10% of the total cost of that lens that realistically you're going to use twice had you actually bought it. So, and it's a nice way to try lenses out before you buy them.
And don't they give you like a shipping label to send it back?
Yeah, it was very convenient. So I've never brought a tripod into the park. Can you do this? I know you can't bring selfie sticks.
No selfie sticks. Selfie sticks aren't allowed. I don't think anybody uses selfie sticks anymore anyway. You can bring a tripod. It has to be able to fold up and fit inside your bag. So if you have a backpack, it has to fit inside
there. How tall can it be?
It can be 6 feet tall. So
So what you've described is a standard tripod.
Yeah.
It's like just, whatever tripod I buy.
As long as it folds up. You know, it can't be like a huge thing that you're carrying in, but if it folds up and fits in your bag, they'll let you in with it. So that being said,
what kind of psycho brings a tripod? I've never done it.
People who want to film or photograph, I should say, fireworks.
Oh, because they want the long exposure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I could see that.
You would really have to set yourself up early in the night. You know what?
At this point, you've been to Disney World multiple times. You're a pro.
Okay. Let's say you're not a pro. This made me think of another tip. You're not a pro. You're at Disney World and you want to know, like, where should I be to take some great photos of this parade or the fireworks? Find the guy who set up the tripod and park yourself next to that guy because that guy knows, like, this is a good spot. So that's my hot tip for the newbie. Don't bring the tripod, but park yourself next to the guy with the tripod.
Just ride that guy's coattails?
Heck yeah. All right, I'm going to talk about some of my tech stuff. So let's talk Magic Bands versus Key to the World card versus my Disney experience. Because people ask me all the time, do I have to have a Magic Band? No, you don't. Here are your options. You can purchase a Magic Band. They no longer give them to you for free. The problem with purchasing them, you pretty much have to get Magic Band Plus. They are clearly phasing out the old Magic Bands, which were less expensive, and pushing the Magic Band Plus, which are not cheap. So if you're doing like a family of five and you're spending 30 something or more, if you want to get like a character one on Magic Bands per person, that adds up real fast.
You know, when it's 90 degrees and 100% humidity in Orlando, do you know what I want to do? What I really want to do is get an inch and a half wide chunk of plastic and rubber and then just strap that tightly around my wrist.
Oh, but it's so, so convenient. It is the most convenient option. So let's just get that out of the way. Because the Magic Band's your room key. You can use it to charge to your resort account. You can use it for PhotoPass. It automatically gets your ride photos because it has the RFID chips. But if you don't want to spend the money, you have other options. Well, first of all, you could buy one for just one person in your group. That's also an option. Your other option is a Key to the World card.
They'd mail these to your house as part of the experience.
It used to be free. Yeah.
That was cool.
So much wasted plastic, though. I wasn't against them stopping that.
You ended up with a gallon Ziploc bag that is filled.
Yeah.
With these stupid Magic Bands.
Yeah, yeah.
That are now e-waste.
Exactly. And so I'm not against them, you know, not giving the Magic Bands out for free. What I don't like is that they're like, guess what? We've upgraded them. You have no choice. Like, you have to pay for this upgraded thing.
But it's got LEDs.
And the Magic Band Plus that I got does not seem to work. At least not well. The one that I got for our son works way better than the one that I bought. So I don't know if I just got a defective one or what. But so Magic Bands are an option. They're extremely useful and convenient. Your other option is a Key to the World card.
So if you want that full Disney World experience, you got to do the Magic Band.
You don't have. No, I don't think so. I don't think you have to.
You like boop it against.
Yes.
No, it's cool.
All right. Well, okay. So you can also get a Key to the World card. Just go to the front desk of your resort and that they'll give you a card. It's like, you know, the plastic room key cards, but those also work as your park tickets. Now those, you can't charge to your room with those. You can't go to the park and, you know, charge to your account, but you can use it to get into your room. You can use it to get into the parks.
Can't we just like do NFC on my phone? Surely we could figure this out.
You can use your phone. Your phone can also be used to get into your room and as your park ticket. But beware, I have had really spotty luck with my phone. Very rarely does it work.
Refuse to use it. I've never gotten it to work.
I have had so many issues getting my phone to unlock my door. I was at a trip where I was like walking back and forth from my room that I couldn't get open, back to the front desk, back to my room, back to the front desk. So it's not great.
Tesla Model 3 drivers know this experience. Mm. They have to use their phone to unlock their car.
That makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. So really my recommendation is either Key to the World, Magic Band if it's in your budget. If it's not in your budget, Key to the World, or get just one Magic Band for somebody in your party. So that's my first tech tip there. AirTags are one that somebody brought up recently. She's like,
Apple device that's just used for stalking people?
Well, we're going to use it to stalk your children. So if they run off and, you know, want to meet Mickey without you and you don't know where they went.
How do you attach it to them?
That's you know, that's your own personal business.
Crazy glue?
Yeah, exactly.
Staples?
Probably their shoe would be my guess.
Oh, I'm sure there's a million and one AirTag accessory products on Amazon.
Yeah, so if you got a little person or even just for like your park bag, I've had a number of people be like, I lost whatever, but then I was able to use Find My and I watched it move from whatever attraction over to guest services.
I need to buy an AirTag for my bike.
I was thinking that myself. Yeah. It's not a bad idea. They're not super expensive either.
Get one for my luggage.
Yeah, so AirTags.
I need a 5-pack of AirTags.
AirTags, I think, that's my mom tip. Let's talk about tech for our kids here. We had a conversation the other day about traveling with iPads. I'm not against traveling with iPads, but iPads at Disney World. I sometimes see kids like in strollers at Disney World looking at their iPad.
If you're at the happiest place on earth and you still need a tablet, you have a screen addiction. There is just no way around it. You went to Disney World, a place that is nothing but sensory assault.
Input from my eyeballs.
Just put the colors into my retinas, and that's Disney World. It is just pure, continuous input. And you still got a jam on your iPad for like whatever horrible, horrible game? Come on.
Yeah, there's a photo of my nephew having dinner inside Cinderella Castle, watching his iPad, and you can see the fireworks out the window behind him. I was like, they had the best seat in the house during the fireworks, And this kid's looking at his iPad.
That's not a core memory because it's all blur. Just iPad time is all blurred together in his head.
Are you ready for me to sound like I'm 100 years old? When I was a kid, I didn't have an iPad.
And what, in 2001?
Aw, husband points. I just used my eyeballs and looked around.
It's okay to be bored. And if you're bored at Disney World, you messed up.
That's what I tell my kids. I'm like, it's okay to be bored sometimes. That's all right.
But you're not going to be bored at Disney World.
Yeah, I think iPads...
What is the iPad for?
I think iPads are okay for downtime in the room.
Yeah, it's not like... Look, I'm on my phone too.
Yeah, exactly.
Just save it for the hotel room.
Yeah, the airplane, the hotel room, that's fine. At Disney World, I would not bring tech for your kids. So my tech tip is to not bring tech for the children. I don't think that they need it. But other than that, as far as gear, maybe not so tech, but you brought home from this conference you just went to a really great first aid kit. A first aid kit. I could not believe it. It's called Keep Going. And this was just in like a goodie bag that you got at this conference. I was like, this is the best travel first aid kit that I've ever seen. It's not, you know, they come in various sizes. And the one that you gave me is small. Like it would be perfect for... a lounge fly bag or a backpack or whatever you're bringing into the parks. But not only did it have Band-Aids and stuff, but it had lip balm and it had antibiotic ointment. It had stickers for kids in case somebody gets hurt. I mean, just they thought of so many things and it's in the cutest little bag. I just couldn't believe it. I sound like such a nerd, but it
I was at a conference.
Such a great product.
And they attended. It's Keep Going First Aid. From the Pepper family.
Yeah, you just like tossed it. You were like, here you go. You tossed it to me. I was like, often my husband here will give me the garbage he gets for free that he doesn't want. And I'm like, gee, thanks. But this one, I was like, oh, this one's actually really good. So I'll put a link in the show notes for it because that's a really, really great one. And of course, as far as gear, all my sweat prevention that I've talked about a million times, under boob creams and powders, Thigh Society shorties.
My man.
Oh, yeah. www.com/sweaty for a full list because I have a lot of products for sweat prevention. I'm gross. Goblin. You love me.
Strangely, I do.
In all my sweaty hunchback goblin glory. All right, let's talk about connectivity at Disney World because we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to talk about Wi-Fi just briefly.
The park is blanketed in Wi-Fi.
It is. You can get Wi-Fi at all the resorts.
I don't know who got the contract for that, but wow, there's...
Even the buses.
So much Wi-Fi.
The buses even have Wi-Fi. So you can get Wi-Fi anywhere at Disney World, and it's free to use. So you have thoughts about this. So let's talk about the pros and cons of Disney Wi-Fi.
You know, it's like a public utility. It is extraordinary. It works so well. But if you have a modern phone... that's got 5G, which does not cause COVID. If you have a modern phone with 5G, the networks know that Disney World is this epicenter. I mean, Disney World itself is twice the size of Manhattan. It's approximately the same size as San Francisco. And so they have to treat it as a city, and it is also blanketed with cell phone service. And so I'll just use my cell service. Often it's faster, but like you get indoors, you know, you lose signal. And then that Wi-Fi is great to have when you want to use the Disney Experience app.
Yes, and it's free. Not everywhere you go is the Wi-Fi going to be free. So that is definitely a plus. A negative, though, at least in my experience, is trying to use it for things like getting a free virtual queue. Like any of the stuff on the app that you have to move quick, 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 they sell out in seconds, turn that Wi-Fi off. That's always the top tip. Is turn the Wi-Fi off because everybody then is on. Everybody in your resort is also using that Wi-Fi, trying to get that free virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy. Everyone is. So turn it off and just use your data. You're going to be better off.
No, R2, you're fine. If you want to be privacy-minded, use a VPN on your phone, but you know, I don't even bother with that.
You know, I had somebody recently who, she came from Ireland, and she apparently, I did not realize this was a thing. She was like, I couldn't purchase Standby Skipper, the third party app I discussed earlier, because she's like, because I was in Ireland. She's like, I thought it would
different
be fine.
Different app stores, different markets.
She's like, I thought it would be fine when I got to the States. It wasn't. And she had to download a VPN to get it to work. I wouldn't even know how to do that. How would you even do that?
I mean, it's a protocol and it's built into your phone. So you download a VPN app, it provides the service, and you can, it routes the, it's called tunneling. Imagine in the internet, a tunnel is made to a different location. And so all the requests your phone make look like they're coming from that computer.
Okay. Was this discussed in the Sandra Bullock movie, The Net? Because that's my understanding of the internet and computers in general.
No, that's some real hacker stuff. And okay. Yet it did not come up in The Net.
Okay.
All she right. For sure would know about SSH tunneling.
Okay. All right. But don't click on the pie symbol is what I know.
Yeah, well, that's the back door to the internet.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to get involved.
This is actually the plot of Sandra Bullock film, The Net. We're not exaggerating any of that.
My favorite movie ever. All right.
She orders pizza online because she's a shut-in.
Me too.
Oh, you and Sandra Bullock, both considered goblins by the internet.
Goblins. Because I order pizza off my computer?
All right, back on track, buddy.
Sorry. All right, nerd, do you have anything else? Any other thoughts? Wi-Fi, technology, Disney World, life in general?
A Disney World vacation is it's an investment. It is so expensive. And the whole point is like, I'm going to make memories. It is easy to put a ton of pressure on yourself and try to do everything right and make yourself crazy. If you feel yourself getting frustrated, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. That park is phenomenal. And I have so many wonderful memories. You know, many of my favorite Disney World memories are just us as a family talking while waiting in line. And that didn't involve phones. It didn't matter what camera I had to do. Like, there was nothing, nothing. And those are my favorite Disney World memories.
I think that is an important takeaway. We talked about a lot of things. You don't have to do 100% of the things that we discussed. These are just tips if you're looking for certain ways to improve your experience, you know, tech-wise. But that doesn't mean that all of these things are a requirement. And I think taking a more laid-back approach has definitely been a theme recently on this podcast. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Oh my God, it's like you listen to my show.
Oh, I don't. Oh. Yeah, I don't actually listen to podcasts.
Wah, wah, wah. Not even mine. What's wrong with you? Mine's
the best one out there. I have listened
to it. Once or twice. I don't listen to yours either.
Yeah.
Boring. All right. Let's kind of wrap it up here. So tech might not be how we want to vacation, but it is a must, at least in some sense at Disney. So like we just said, you know, pick and choose what you take away from here, but these are things that can definitely help enhance your trip and make it a little bit easier. Or some of the third-party apps, if you're not so tech savvy, can maybe help, you know, with Genie Plus issues. So things to keep in mind. Be phone ready, know your apps, know, you know, the My Disney Experience app, play around in it first. Make sure your phone is up to the task, storage-wise, camera-wise. Play with your kid. That's what I did before my first big, you know, WDW Disney World trip. I went to the park and took some photos because I needed the practice. I never really thought about composition and what I wanted my photos to look like. So just make a day of it. Go on a sunny day and take some action shots, you know, at the park or wherever. You know, decide what kind of photographer you are and prepare accordingly. Pack your bag with park essentials. We listed a whole bunch here. I'm going to put a big old list in the show notes because there's a lot of stuff. Tech gear, sweat gear. We got it all. Nothing for hunchbacks, but, you know, I'll look into that. And don't get overwhelmed. Just do the things that you're comfortable with. Any other big takeaways from you over there?
No one wants a their phone to be about to die. Yeah, go ahead and bring the battery pack.
Bring the battery. Low power mode and a battery pack is a good, it's the best combo for Disney World.
Or you could get the battery pack that goes on the back of the phone. Or ooh, like the battery case.
Yeah.
That your phone's really beefy at that point.
You
but
can't, I like to stick my phone in a pocket if I've got something with pockets.
So I used to have a battery case and it was pretty sweet when it felt like I had infinite battery.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I just, you know, but then I feel like I'm holding my phone all the time instead of being able to put it in my pocket. I don't know. I guess figure out which is better for you.
Decide what's right for you. Live right, your truth.
I think we're going to wrap it up here. If you want to book a trip or get a quote, use the link in the show notes. Supports the podcast and the website. Makes these wonderful, hilarious, amazing episodes possible. If you're interested in being a guest on a trip report, you can submit an application. There's a link in the show notes to leave me a voicemail message. My next trip's Run Disney and Food and Wine Festival. Pretty excited. I might squeeze one in before then. I don't know if it's going to work timing wise. I feel like we have a lot going on this spring. Busy, 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 but at least two coming up in the books for me. So if there's anything you want me to explore, check out, drop me a line because I love to hear from you guys. Otherwise, I will see you guys in the parks.